Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're about to take a deep dive into one of the biggest true crime cases in the universe. Or, at least, on our part of the planet. From the Hidden Killers Podcast and True Crime Today.
The moon cast a pale glow over the quiet college town of Moscow, Idaho, where tree-lined streets crisscrossed between the brick buildings of the University of Idaho campus. It was November 2022, a time when the crisp air carried the anticipation of the upcoming holiday season. Students were immersed in their studies, friendships blossomed, and the future seemed full of promise. But for four young students, their vibrant lives were about to be tragically cut short, leaving a community in shock and a nation searching for answers. Ethan Chapin, a 20-year-old with a heart as big as his towering stature, was known for his infectious laughter and unyielding positivity. Born as one of a set of triplets in Conway, Washington, Ethan shared an unbreakable bond with his siblings, Maisie and Hunter. The trio was inseparable, their lives woven together through shared experiences and mutual support. Ethan was a freshman majoring in recreation, sport, and tourism management. His passion for sports was evident. He played basketball and volleyball, and his enthusiasm was contagious both on and off the court. Friends described Ethan as someone who could brighten any room. He had a knack for making others feel included, often organizing group activities and outings. His love for adventure led him to embrace new experiences, whether it was hiking in the nearby mountains or trying his hand at cooking a new recipe. Ethan's relationship with Zana Kernodle was blossoming, and together they shared moments filled with joy and laughter. Zana Kernodle, 20, hailed from Post Falls, Idaho. A junior majoring in marketing, she was a member of the Pi Beta Phi sorority. Zana was a spirited soul with a penchant for living life to the fullest. Her friends often spoke of her spontaneous nature. She was the one who would suggest a midnight road trip or a last-minute concert outing. Zana's radiant smile and quick wit made her a cherished friend to many. Growing up, Zana was close to her mother and sister, cherishing family gatherings and traditions. She had a creative streak, enjoying art and photography, often capturing candid moments of her friends. Her relationship with Ethan was a source of happiness. They complemented each other in ways that only deepened their connection. Madison Mogan, known affectionately as Maddie, was 21 years old and a shining light to all who knew her. Raised in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, she was pursuing a degree in marketing and was also a member of the Pi Beta Phi sorority alongside Zana. Maddie was the epitome of kindness and empathy. She had a way of making others feel heard and understood, often offering a shoulder to lean on during tough times. Her friendship with Kaylee Goncalves was the stuff of stories. The two had been inseparable since the sixth grade, navigating the challenges and triumphs of adolescence together. Maddie was adventurous, yet grounded, with a love for music, especially live performances. She enjoyed exploring coffee shops, always on the hunt for the perfect latte, and had an eye for fashion, often helping friends pick out outfits for special occasions. Kaylee Goncalves, also 21, was a force to be reckoned with. Hailing from Rathdrum, Idaho, she was set to graduate early with a degree in general studies. Kaylee was ambitious, with dreams of exploring the world beyond her small-town roots. She had recently purchased a Range Rover as a gift to herself for her upcoming graduation, a symbol of her hard work and determination. Kaylee was known for her charisma and zest for life. She had a magnetic personality that drew people in, and she wasn't afraid to speak her mind. Family was everything to her. She was the middle child among five siblings and cherished her role within the tight-knit Goncalves clan. Kaylee had plans to move to Austin, Texas, pursuing a career in the tech industry, and she was excited about the new adventures that awaited her. The friendship between Maddie and Kaylee was more akin to sisterhood. They shared secrets, dreams, and a mutual understanding that only comes from years of shared experiences. Their bond was evident to all who knew them. They finished each other's sentences and could communicate volumes with just a glance. The house on King Road where the four friends lived was a hub of activity. It was a place filled with laughter, music, and the aroma of shared meals. The walls bore witness to late-night study sessions, impromptu dance parties, and heartfelt conversations that stretched into the early hours of the morning. The friends often hosted gatherings, creating a welcoming environment for others in their social circle. On weekends, they might be found exploring the scenic beauty of Idaho, kayaking on Lake Coeur d'Alene, hiking trails that offered breathtaking views, or simply enjoying a picnic in the park. Their lives were a tapestry of shared moments, each thread representing a memory forged together. As the investigation into their untimely deaths began, the community was engulfed in grief. Candlelight vigils illuminated the night as classmates, faculty, and residents came together to honor their memories. The university provided counseling services, recognizing the profound impact such a loss had on the student body. Authorities worked diligently to piece together the events leading up to that tragic night. Brian Koberger, a 28-year-old doctoral student studying criminology at Washington State University, was arrested and charged with their murders. The question on everyone's minds was, why these four vibrant young individuals? Investigators delved into any potential connections between Koberger and the victims. It was alleged that he had studied under renowned criminology professors and had a deep understanding of criminal behavior. Some reports suggested that Koberger might have been fascinated by the psychological aspects of crime, possibly even studying real-life cases as part of his academic pursuits. Digital footprints were scrutinized. Social media platforms became a focal point as investigators searched for any interactions or patterns that might link Koberger to the victims. It was alleged that he had followed all three female victims on Instagram, although they did not follow him back. There were unconfirmed reports that he had sent direct messages to one of the victims, messages that went unanswered. The possibility of Koberger having frequented places the victims visited was explored. The University of Idaho and Washington State University were located relatively close to each other, and the towns of Moscow and Pullman were connected by shared amenities and social venues. It was plausible that paths might have crossed in local cafes, libraries, or community events. Speculation arose that Koberger might have been observing the victims from a distance, his alleged actions fueled by fixation or envy. Experts in criminal psychology noted that sometimes perpetrators are drawn to victims who represent something they desire or resent, a sense of belonging, happiness, or success. However, without concrete evidence, these remained theories. The families of the victims urged the public and media to focus on honoring their loved ones rather than speculating on motives. They shared heartfelt stories that painted vivid pictures of who these young people were. Ethan's family spoke of his generosity and love for life. "He was the kind of person who would give you the shirt off his back," his mother said. "Ethan brought joy to everyone he met." Zana's father remembered her as our dancing queen, always moving to the rhythm of her own beat. "She lived every day to the fullest," he shared. "Her spirit was unstoppable." Maddie's parents reflected on her compassionate nature. "Maddie had a way of making everyone feel special," her mother recalled. "She was our sunshine." Kaylee's family emphasized her determination and adventurous spirit. "She was a go-getter," her sister said. Kaylee was ready to take on the world, and nothing was going to stop her. The university community continued to grapple with the loss. Professors remembered the victims as dedicated students who brought energy and curiosity to the classroom. Peers mourned the absence of friends who had become like family. The void left behind was palpable. In the midst of sorrow, there were acts of unity and remembrance. Scholarships were established in the victims' names, aimed at supporting students who embodied the qualities that Ethan, Zana, Maddie, and Kaylee exemplified. Mural projects and memorial gardens were proposed, providing spaces for reflection and healing. The investigation pressed on. Law enforcement officials collected and analyzed forensic evidence, including DNA samples, surveillance footage, and data from electronic devices. The legal process was meticulous, ensuring that all procedures were followed to uphold the integrity of the case. Koberger's background came under intense scrutiny. Classmates described him as intelligent, but reserved. Some noted that he was passionate about his studies in criminology, often engaging deeply with the material. There were reports of him conducting a research project that involved surveying criminals to understand their decision-making processes, which added a layer of intrigue to his alleged involvement. As the case moved toward trial, legal experts discussed potential defense strategies. Questions about Koberger's mental state, his understanding of right and wrong, and any possible motivations were subjects of analysis. The presumption of innocence remained, and the courts would ultimately determine the outcome based on the evidence presented. For the families of the victims, each development in the case was a reminder of their profound loss. They navigated a complex landscape of grief, media attention, and legal proceedings. Yet they also found strength in the support of the community and in honoring the memories of their loved ones. The lives of Ethan, Zana, Maddie, and Kaylee were rich and full, marked by kindness, ambition, and a deep appreciation for the connections they forged. They were young people on the cusp of realizing their dreams, each with a unique path and a shared sense of purpose. Ethan dreamed of managing sports teams or events, combining his love for athletics with leadership. Zana aspired to merge her creative talents with marketing, perhaps in the fashion or entertainment industries. Maddie saw herself working in brand management, using her skills to help companies connect with audiences authentically. Kaylee was excited about the tech world, eager to innovate and make a mark in an ever-evolving field. Their friendships were the kind that shape a lifetime, filled with shared secrets, laughter, and a support system that buoyed them through challenges. They celebrated each other's successes and provided comfort during hardships. Their home was a testament to the power of community, a place where everyone was welcome and where differences were embraced. The tragedy that befell them was a stark reminder of the fragility of life and the darkness that can exist in the world. Yet, in remembering who they were, there is also a celebration of the light they brought into the lives of others. As the sun rises over Moscow, casting a warm glow on the university campus, life continues. Students attend classes, friendships deepen, and the cycle of learning and growth endures. The memory of Ethan, Zana, Maddie, and Kaylee lives on in the hearts of those who knew them, and in the collective consciousness of a community forever changed. Their stories compel us to reflect on the value of connection, the importance of cherishing each moment, and the impact one individual can have on many. In honoring their lives, we find inspiration to foster kindness, pursue our passions, and build bridges of understanding. The search for justice continues, and with it, the hope that healing will come. The road ahead is long, and the questions many. But through compassion and solidarity, the community stands resilient, determined to remember the joy these four young people brought into the world. In the quiet moments, when the hustle of daily life slows, we might think of them, a laugh echoing down a hallway, the strum of a guitar at a gathering, the shared glance between friends that speaks volumes. Their legacies are woven into the fabric of the community, reminders that even in the face of tragedy, the human spirit endures.
In a world where the darkest secrets lie just beneath the surface.
Well, they said it was an accident, but the evidence says otherwise.
Where hidden killers roam unnoticed in the shadows.
I think you would definitely be looking at a blend of toxic, very bad narcissistic personality traits, and they will be vengeful and possibly resort to violence.
Join Tony Bruschi as he uncovers the truth behind the most chilling cases.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence clearly says otherwise.
Each episode, we dig deep into the minds of those who commit the unthinkable.
To your point on narcissism, he thinks in his own mind how witty he is.
Yeah.
But he lost that jury. I was done with him in 2 minutes.
From unsolved mysteries to infamous crimes.
Geez, you've just talked about how you've taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, how to best kill somebody with a knife.
Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi takes you where few dare to go.
How does someone with such a dark secret go unnoticed for so long?
With multiple new episodes every single day.
We're not just telling stories, we're seeking justice.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.